Bibles, if you would, to 2 Timothy chapter 4. We read verses 6 through 8. We've been preaching a series on staying the course and finishing your course, the course that God has for you. Last night I covered one point, and sometimes you just preach and you just feel like the Lord wants you to stay right there and just hone in on that and talk about witnessing, as Johnny was talking about tonight. And here's the question. If we don't witness, listen to me. If we don't witness, who's going to? Who's going to? I want to witness to people that I come in contact with because I want somebody to witness to my family that's lost. Now, we have opportunities, but not as many as we'd like. And sometimes they've heard it from us time and time again, and maybe just hearing it from somebody else, you know. I would to God that we'd be as burdened about other people's families as we are our own. Wouldn't you? That we'd be as burdened about your family and you'd be burdened about our family as we are of our own families. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 6. Paul says this. And you know, Paul was at the end of his life. He was at the end of his course, he says. And you know what a statement that he makes here when he says, I'm now ready. You know what? When you're coming to the end of your life, I really believe as God's people, He'll give us the dying grace that we need, and we ought to die with grace. We ought to die praising the Lord and thanking the Lord for all we've had. I've mentioned this several times. Of course, it's on my heart. But when my dad passed away, went on to glory, on September the 17th, about 12:30 in the afternoon of 2009, we had been in my dad's room for several weeks, hospital and rest home and then hospice. And even in hospice, our family would sit around the bed and we'd read scripture and we'd quote scripture and we'd sing songs and we would let Dad talk and Dad would witness and we'd witness to the people. And I don't think I've told you this, but the afternoon that my dad passed away, they came in at hospice and they said, listen, you just stay as long as you want to, and when you're ready, we'll call the funeral director. That was all set up, and we'll have him come get it. So we mourned, but we didn't mourn as others who have no hope. We knew where my dad was. Immediately, his spirit was with the Lord. We knew that. He preached that all his life. We knew what the Bible taught. And God gave us some grace. And let me tell you what we were able to do. Now, this is the grace of God. It's nothing that we can brag about. But there were about 20 of us in the room, my brother's family and our family and some folks from the church. There were about 20 of us. After we had said our goodbyes, we cried. We kind of walked out in the hall and I was on one side and my mother in the middle and my brother on the other side and the rest of the family followed us down the halls of hospice. And you know what we sang? Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. And then we got to the last verse when we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun. We sung all the verses, but we sang in the last one. As we're going out the exit doors, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. We went out the doors. We were out there as a family. We were hugging and talking. I went back into the hospice office area there, and I told them, I said, I hope that we did not disturb the others that are here. We did not intentionally do that. And the lady said, I want to tell you something. She said, what a blessing it was to see a family leave that way. My dad was ready. He'd finished his course. His time was up. He's ready to go. And I want to tell you, like the preacher said, been preached this week and the other preachers have mentioned, I really believe the Lord could come back tonight. And I want to tell you something. It wouldn't hurt my feelings if I went to glory from Missouri. That'd be all right with me. Now, they used to say when the rapture takes place, we probably got to go through Atlanta because every plane goes through there. You can't get anywhere without going through Atlanta. But I believe he's coming back soon. And Paul said, for I'm now ready to be offered. And he said, the time of my departure is at hand. Now, listen to this. At the end of his life, his testimony was, I fought a good fight. I finished my course, and I have kept the faith. I don't believe Paul was bragging. Somebody said it's not bragging, it's just the facts. And if anybody had the right to say that, I believe the Apostle Paul did. He gave it all up. He gave up everything for Christ. And he said, I just count them as dung that I might win Christ. And it says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. And I've kept the faith. Let me say this to these young preachers here tonight. I trust that you'll keep your eyes on the Lord. And you'll keep your mind on the goal that Christ has set for you. And you'll press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God which is in Christ Jesus. And I pray that you'll finish your course, however how long that is. And that at the end of your life, people will be able to say about you, Philip and Jim and Paul and Troy, maybe some others, they fought a good fight. They finished their course. They kept the faith. You know, some of us are older, and we're not going to have the lifespan probably that you have. And it's getting nearer. And we all want to be able to have people say about us, they fought a good fight, and they finished their course, and they kept the faith. But then the Bible says in verse 8, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love His appearing. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for the opportunity to be here tonight. We thank You for Your mercy. We thank You for Your love. We thank You for Your grace, Your kindness, Your gentleness, Your long-suffering. We thank You for forgiveness of sin. We thank You for salvation. We thank You for service, that You allowed us to serve You, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And I trust and I pray that when we leave this place tonight, we can say truly, it's been good to have been in the house of the Lord. We have felt Your presence. We have sung songs of praise to You. We have studied from Your Word, and we've fellowshipped with our brothers and sisters in Christ. And I pray that tonight, if there's someone without Christ, Lord, that You'd speak to their hearts tonight. They'd trust You as their own personal Lord and Savior. I trust tonight as we meet here together that we might study as You would have us to study and learn the things You would have us to learn. And I pray that we can be an encouragement to each other to keep on keeping on these last days. For it's in Jesus' precious and holy name we pray and ask it all. And amen. The title of the message is to stay the course or to finish your course. And we said why. And we gave a lot of things about not quitting and not giving up and not fainting and so forth. And we said, why should we stay the course? Number one, we've been purchased with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. These songs, I love these songs. You know, a lot of churches today are taking the word blood out of the song books and taking it out of their versions that they study and so forth. And there's nothing to say about the blood of Jesus Christ. But the Bible says, without the shedding of blood is no remission. So we must have the blood of Jesus Christ for forgiveness of sin. Then secondly, we said we have been called. We've been called to salvation. We've been called to service and so forth. And the Bible bears that out in many scriptures that we talked about. We don't have time to go into tonight. But then we talked about last night, we have a sacred responsibility. And in that we talked about witnessing. And the Bible says in Acts 1:8, ye shall be witnesses of me. And so it doesn't say you'll be a witness, but we shall be witnesses of Christ. And I think that's very, very important in these last days in which we live, knowing that Christ does the saving. But He's chosen a means for us as His people to spread the gospel to a lost and dying world. We send money, and many of you support our missionaries and other missionaries, and we send some money to Turkey. We can't all be in Turkey, but we can send the money so that we can send people over there to preach the gospel in Turkey. Justin and his wife are learning gobble gobble. I guess that's what you speak in Turkey. I don't know, but whatever they speak, they've learned that. And they're able to witness and so forth. And then Jason and Becca in Peru, the Spanish, and they learn the Spanish. They sing and all that kind of thing and preach in Spanish. And I can't do those things. Many of us can't do those things. But we can send people over there to spread the gospel to a lost and dying world. And I've been in foreign countries. I like to preach in the Philippines because you can preach in English. I like that. And Guyana, South America, I like that because you can preach in English. And I've preached in Japan, and you have to have an interpreter. My wife, her uncle that was missionary over there, still a missionary, going back and forth at this time. But I was over there preaching in Japan. And, of course, I can't speak Japanese. So anyway, he was interpreting for me. And I, got where I just chop it up into a sentence so he wouldn't have a lot to interpret, and I just cut my phraseology, I guess you'd say, just cut my phrases down and said a few words. And he went on and on and on in interpreting. I said, "Did I say all that?" He said, "I guess you did." So he was enjoying it. But what I'm saying is this, we may not be able to speak the language, but we can send missionaries out there that can learn the language and speak to those people and spread the gospel. You know what? Tonight, listen to me, tonight in this song service and the presence of the Holy Spirit of God, you know what that is? That's just a little taste of heaven. Now, when we're in this service tonight, and we talk about witnessing, we talk about spreading the gospel, we talk about staying the course and finishing our course and fighting the good fight and keeping the faith. To hear tonight as a group, we feel like we can do that, don't we? We feel the strength and the power that we're able to do that. But it's a lot different when you're out there in the workplace. You're out there with guys that are, women sometimes are cussing and telling dirty jokes and everything. What we do is not real popular with them. But you know what? If the Lord saves them, then they'll be right here where we are, won't they? They'll be right here. Well, we have a responsibility. Now, I know this, and I don't like to dwell on this because I like to encourage people, and that's the purpose of these messages, is to encourage you to keep on keeping on. Well, what should be the motivating factor? What should motivate us to keep on keeping on? Well, I can tell you this. I've done a lot of study, and I've preached a lot of sermons, and I've been in the ministry a long time. And what I have recognized and realized is what motivated Jesus Christ was His love for us. And you know what ought to motivate us to keep on keeping on? Is our love for Him. The Bible says we love Him because He first loved us. He loved us when we were unlovable. He loved us when we were yet in sin. God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Now, I'll tell you this. When I think about this, when I read about this, when I study about the love of Christ, it overwhelms me. I don't understand that. I understand a part of love, and love is just a little four-letter word, but try to explain that. You know, love is not something that you just say and then you go on. It's something that you put action to your words. And if you really love, then you will act upon that. It's not hard, difficult to see these grandchildren running around here, that they're loved. I think they know that, don't you? I think they realize that. These children here, I think they realize that they're loved. And when you come in here, you feel that love and you feel the closeness and the family atmosphere. And we're the family of God, are we not? We're the family of God. And tonight as we worship God in song and prayer and praise and now in the messages and so forth, it's just a little taste of what heaven's going to be like. The good thing about heaven is we're not all going to ever have to say goodbye. Isn't that? Now, when I was at the funeral service, I said goodbye to my dad. It's just a little while. When we buried him in the ground, you know what? I didn't call that a graveyard. I called that resurrection ground. Because one of these days, he's coming up out of that ground. That body is. His spirit's already with the Lord. Resurrection ground. That's where we place them. And Christ, I believe, is going to resurrect them in the real near future. Well, let's look at some scriptures here just quickly. Romans chapter 5. And verse number 5. Romans chapter 5 and verse number 5. Notice what the Bible says. The Bible says, "And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly." But notice that it says in verse 5, the last part, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. You know what? When Christ saves us, immediately we're changed. Well, the things that we used to hate, we now love. The things that we used to not enjoy, we now enjoy. The things that we didn't like to do before, you know, before I was saved, I didn't enjoy church. Did you? I was miserable. I was lost. I was under conviction. These guys have talked about a year. I really believe I was under conviction for about 2 years. I was miserable. I was the preacher's son. I couldn't get away from it. I had to sit on the first or second row with my mother, my brother and I did. And we had to be there and we had to sing and we had to go to Sunday school. We had to go to BTC and we had to go to every service. We had to go to every revival meeting and we had to act like we were Christians. We were not saved. But we were the preacher's kids. You know how that is, don't you? Many of you know that. We were the preacher's kids. We had to act right. We had to do right. Listen, I wasn't even saved and I was mowing grass and my parents made me tithe on that. 10%. I wasn't even saved. So I didn't enjoy the singing like we did tonight. I didn't enjoy somebody making comments about those things. I didn't enjoy the offering. I didn't enjoy the Sunday school lesson. I didn't enjoy the preaching. I didn't enjoy the invitation. That was the worst part of the whole thing. Preachers stand down here and people singing songs and you're gripping on the back of the pew and you're just like that and you're saying, I'm praying that they'll sing one more verse, that's it. I hope they stop. You've been there, hadn't you? And I'd say, when I got under conviction real bad, I said, if I say one more verse, I'll go. And then I hold on tighter. But when God saved me, He changed me. You know what? Immediately, I enjoyed church. The pressure was gone. The burden was gone. I enjoyed giving in there. I enjoyed singing songs. We've been watching these young people this week right up here in the school. Oh man, let me tell you what a blessing they are. They don't even realize it. Man, they're singing those songs and they know the word. And these guys up here are singing bass tonight and they're on the Jericho Road. Man, isn't that wonderful? That's what it's all about. When you have the love of Christ shed abroad in your heart, listen, your life changes. You go from being sad to being glad and being happy and rejoicing in the Lord. And that motivates other people to keep on keeping on for the honor and glory of Christ. That motivates other people. Listen, if the preacher gets up and he says, well, I sure am glad y'all are here tonight. We've had such a great service. Man, I've enjoyed this. What does that do for you? Huh? But if the preacher gets up like this preacher's leading to sing and says, oh man, hey, boy, that gets you excited about things of God. I'm excited already. And then he gets up there and starts doing that and Johnny starts talking. Man, I'm excited about the things of God. I'm excited that God loved me. I'm excited that Christ loved me and gave His love for me. And I'm excited that I can love Him and serve Him and live for Him and finish my course and fight the battle and keep the faith. I'm excited about that. Amen. Say, watch it, old man. You're going to have a heart attack. Churches, usually when I first preach in them like that hard, they say, preacher, I'm afraid you're going to have a heart attack. I said, well, I don't think so, but if I do, I'm gone. My dad, a couple years before he died, he had a spell with his heart, and they had to revive him. And during that last couple of years, he'd say, if y'all just left me alone, I'd already been in heaven. We were out of town. They called us, and they said, your dad's heart rate, blood pressure, and all that's dropped. So it looked like he's going to make it. We got in the car. We headed home, about a three-hour drive. We got there and the hospital hallways were lined up and everything. And you guys from Arkansas know this. He had an IV there. They had him on morphine medication. And he said, Governor Faubus came here to see me. And it was the IV rack and all that kind of thing. But many times he'd say, if y'all left me alone, I'd already been in glory. You know what? I think this happens when you get a little more age on you, that you say, God's been good to me. I've lived a good life. I'm ready to go. Now, I'm not going to jump out in front of a truck. You know, some people have the idea that, if it's not my time to go, I'll just go out there and jump in front of a truck and it won't kill me. No, but you may go around beat up all your life and quadriplegic and all that kind of stuff. I don't know what the case may be. But listen, if we love God, people ought to see that. You ought not to have to say, hey, I'm a Christian. I love God. You ought not to have to, they see it in your life. They see it in your testimony. They see it in your joy. They see it in the way you sing. They see it in the way you attend church and the way you pray. The way you pray. Some people pray and it sounds like just words and just dropping on the floor.
And then some people, you hear them pray. And I've been in prayer meetings and I've heard some people pray. And I won't tell you, boy, I mean, it was just like they were touching heaven with their prayers. And that's people that love God. Now, probably all of us have thought about quitting and giving up, walking away. Sometimes it's unpleasant. Sometimes people don't appreciate you. Sometimes people don't say nice things about you. And sometimes people are jealous of you. You know, you're too much a friend of the pastor. You're the pastor's friend. You know, all those kind of things. And all those kind of things that go on in people's lives. And you think, well, I'd just quit then. If that's the way people feel. You know what people say? They say, you Christians. You ever hear this? You Christians. Y'all think you're the only ones that's going to heaven. Well, I'm going to tell you, saved people are going to heaven. Now, there's some saved people that don't act like Christians. And I'm not the judge. But the definition of a Christian is to be Christ-like. Christ-like. The love of God shed abroad in our hearts. Now, listen, let's go to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. And let's look at verses 14 through 16 right in there. Hebrews, James, 1st, 2nd, Peter, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. All right, 1 John chapter number 3. Verse number 14, listen to this. Verse 13 says, marvel not, my brethren, that the world hates you. Verse 14, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Verse 15. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Verse 18. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. If you love me, keep my commandments, he says. Do it indeed. Show your love. Tell people you love them. That's okay. But they care more about what you do about it than what you say about it. Then let's look over here in the fourth chapter. In the fourth chapter, it says in verse number 6, it says, we are of God, and he that knoweth God heareth us, and he that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, verse 7, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not, knoweth not God. Listen to this, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Verse 10, herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation or the appeasement for our sin. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. So God loves us. He shed his love abroad in our hearts. The motivating factor for us to keep on keeping on and to finish our course is our love for God. Our love for God. Our love for God. Let me ask you a question tonight. How much do you really love God? How much do you really love God? Well, I believe the Bible teaches that God deserves the preeminence. That God is to be numero uno. That He is to be first place in our life. And you know what? A lot, I've had people tell me this, and I preach this. Listen, God ought to be first place in our lives, and we ought to love God, and we ought to be motivated by our love for God, and we ought to serve Him and live for Him and do all the things that a Christian's supposed to do. And God ought to be first place in our lives. And here's what they say. But what about my family? Now, here's what I believe. I believe if we love God like we ought to, that our family will mean more to us than they ever have. If you love God, you're going to love your family more than you've ever loved them before. You know why? Because you're going to learn how to really love. Now, people that are not saved don't really understand what we're talking about here tonight. But I'm telling you what, God ought to be first place in our heart, and we ought to love Him because He first loved us, and that ought to motivate us to keep on keeping on for the honor and the glory of God. It causes me to do what I do as a Christian. It causes me to live how I live as a Christian. It causes me to tell others about Jesus Christ and His power to save. And Paul had the love of Christ in his heart, and that's what motivated him in his life. That's why he said, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. You know what motivated him? Was his love for Christ. That's what it was. I lived in a home with my parents. And when God saved them, immediately they changed. My dad had a service station business on the state line, Missouri and Arkansas state line. He closed it. Started going to church on Sunday. He went to the preacher and he asked the preacher what he should do. And the preacher said, you've been saved. And he told him how he'd been saved. He said, then you need to be baptized as the Bible teaches, Matthew 28:19-20. My parents were baptized. Then he asked the preacher what he should do. And the preacher said, you need to be in church every service because the Bible says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. And my dad said, that's what we'll do. And then he said, you need to start tithing. And my dad said, what's tithing? I don't understand it. And he said, give a tenth of your gross income to the church. And that my dad said immediately, we'll do that. You see, he was chained. He was like the Apostle Paul. What wilt thou have me to do, Lord? That's what I'll be willing to do. I don't know why people balk at those things. You know what I find? Everything that God commands us to do in His Word is for our benefit. It's for our benefit. You cannot give God. The Bible says, give and it shall be given you, pressed down, packed together and all those kind of things. And God will just pour it out and the windows of heaven will open up and He'll pour you out blessings you'll not even be able to receive. If you love God more than you love your money, you'll give it to God. I found that God can do a lot better with our money than we can. They've been talking about bills and all this kind of stuff and what we're going through in the economy. My wife and I were in Bible college. And we was newlyweds, we was in Bible college, and we weren't making much money. And our money wasn't going very far, and we were not eating like we eat today, and not living like we're living today. We were very poor. In fact, they'd come around and take the census, and we were in poverty. They'd tell us every time they came around. And so after we were married for a while, she said, well, I just think our money, we could spend it more wisely and it'd go farther and that kind of thing. And I had the checkbook and the money and all that. And I said, okay, honey. And I turned it over to her. If she could do a better job, that's wonderful. After about 2 weeks, she came and gave it back to me. And you know what she said? We can't make it on this, can we? And I said, no, honey, we can't. And we were living in Somerset, Kentucky, Troy. I was going out to White Oak. They asked me to come out there and lead singing. I'd never led singing before. And had a job and we paid our tithes and then bought our groceries and bought gas for the car, made the car payment and the house rent. We wouldn't have anything left on Sunday night. Not a dime. I'm talking about not a dime. People talk about carrying a debit card or credit card. We didn't have those. Couldn't get one. I don't even know if they had them back then. Didn't have any money in our pockets. You know what? We were young. We were in love. We were serving God. We weren't worried about that. And Brother Jones out there at White Oak, he said, I want you to come out and lead singing for me. And we'd go out there and on Sunday night, sometimes the church would take up an offering for us on Sunday night. And they'd give us a love offering. Man, big money. Sometimes it was $10. Sometimes it was $12. But listen, we loved God. I just surrendered to preach. Man, I was going to Bible college. I mean, money didn't mean anything to me. We had, both of us had good jobs. We had a nice apartment. And we moved to Kentucky to go to Bible college. And we loaded everything in the back of a little old pickup truck. And we didn't think about that. We didn't know we was poor. The census taker told us we was poor. We just served God. God provided. And God took care of us. And listen, I think sometimes when we're poor and have to do without a lot of things, maybe we depend on God more then than we do when we're making better and we're able to just have a discussion like, well, where are we going to eat tonight? Well, we ate last night at that place. Why don't we eat at this place tonight? This would be good. You know what? That's the problems we have today. But then there was a time later on in our lives. We had our oldest son. And he was perfect, health and everything, and my wife was doing real well. And a few years later, she'd had some miscarriages, and then we had a daughter born, and it was a serious matter. My wife was in the hospital, and the doctor said, the baby's probably not going to make it, and your wife probably not going to make it. I'm a young preacher,
We're serving God. We're tithing. We're involved in the ministries of the church. We're not taking a dime from the church. We're still in Bible college. And we got a daughter that they say is not going to live. So what do? We can either trust God or we can quit. I couldn't find any place in here to quit. I thought, God, we're trying to serve You. We're living for You. And You're taking our child and You might take my wife. I don't understand that. I can't, there's some things in life I don't have the answers for. I can't tell you why God did that. I don't know. And people come to us sometimes when they go through things like that and they'll say, well, preacher, why is that happening? I can't explain it all. But we had a church that loved us. We had some professors at Bible college that loved us. We had parents that loved us. And they just helped us through that time, and God caused us to be thankful that my wife was spared and we had a healthy son and all that. And we didn't quit. We were discouraged and we were down. But we just kept on serving God. And a few years later, the doctors had said after that that my wife wasn't to have any more children and those kind of things, and so we didn't think we'd ever have another child. We still loved God. We still cared. We were still serving God. We were young people. We bounced back. We were on fire for God. You don't forget those things that happen to you and they bother you sometimes, but you're busy serving God. Lo and behold, Donna went to the doctor. The doctor said, you're going to have a child. And boy, every time we hit a bump in the road and she felt a little bad, we went to the hospital. We were making sure everything was taken care of. We went to the hospital, and 7 years after our first son was born, our second son was born, Darren. Weighed exactly the same as our first son, and he was perfectly healthy. Now, I didn't blame God for taking our other child. I didn't understand it, but I didn't blame God. I didn't get mad and quit. And it's not because I'm a super Christian. I just didn't know what else to do. I knew the answer wasn't to get down and quit and give up. I knew that wouldn't help. I mean, you can't go through life like that. And then God gave us this other son. Man, we were rejoicing. We were praising God. We were thanking God. And I really believe this. I believe that God blessed us for our faithfulness to Him. Not that we were super Christian, not more able to take care of things like that than anybody else, but we didn't know what else to do. Listen, when I was saved, I was trusting Christ with my eternity. But then I'm not going to trust Him with my finances, and I'm not going to trust Him what happens in life. Oh no, I'm trusting Him with my eternity. Not only mine, but the people that I preach to and my entire family. And if I'm going to trust Him with eternity, I'm going to trust Him with the things that happen in life. That don't mean they're not hard. And sometimes it feels like your heart's just been pulled out. And people have stomped on it. And you're hurt. But if I quit, I'm quitting on God. Preachers, if y'all quit, you're quitting on God. And so that's why in my ministry, I've tried to encourage people. I've tried to encourage these young preachers and their families. I've tried to encourage preachers my age and older than me. That we, together, let's encourage one another. Let's pray for one another. Let's strengthen one another. Hold each other's arms up. And not only the preachers, but the people in our church. Listen, folks, you that are members that are not preachers or pastors, when you go through those valleys, your pastor goes through it. Your pastor goes through it with you. He's there, but God is there with you. And He says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you, but I want to tell you, a pastor that loves you and has a heart for you, he goes through those valleys with you too. Because he cares.
I was a youth director for many years. My wife and I were. And I loved these people so well. I just loved everything about them. We had them in school and we had them at church and we had them at ball games and they'd come to our house and everything. I loved them so much. And one time when I was real spiritual, I said, Lord, don't lay the sin to the young people's charge, lay it to my charge. Don't pray that prayer. That was the worst year of my life. God took me at my word. And I mean some horrible things. Depression and everything else set in. I never prayed that again. I just had such a heart for them. But I want to say this to you tonight. If you really love God like you ought to, as we ought to, then we'll be motivated to fight a good fight, to finish our course, and to keep the faith.
Amen.
I believe that with all my heart. I believe it more tonight than I ever have in my life. Let's fight a good fight. Let's finish our course, and let's keep the faith. God deserves that of us. We owe Him everything. He deserves it. We deserve nothing. Listen, He saved us from hell. We don't even deserve that. Anything other than that's a plus. We deserve nothing, but He deserves everything. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, thank You for who You are. Thank You for what You are and what You mean to us. I pray, dear Lord, that You'll help all of us to be encouraged to keep on keeping on. Sometimes we think we're the only ones that go through trials and tribulations and turmoil in our lives and deal with problems in our own families and our churches and our jobs. But God, I thank You that You supply the grace to get us through those things. And I thank You that You tell us You'll never leave us nor forsake us. We love You. We want to love You more. We want to show it more than we ever have before in our lives. And I pray tonight that all of us can be encouraged to do what the Apostle Paul did. To do what Job did when Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. I pray, Lord, for these that are here tonight. I pray a special blessing upon each and every one of them. That they would be encouraged and that they would keep on keeping on. Pastors need members who are faithful, who will love them, who will pray for them, who will care for them. Members need pastors who will love them and pray for them and care for them. Help us to be about the Master's business, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.